Again, our final case is in re Interest Bonica and Thompson.
May it please the Court. Good afternoon. My name is Jessica Ballard, and I represent the appellant Christopher O., the biological father of the minor children. As the Court is aware, this is a consolidated case involving 20 minor children, a boy, named Practice, Paxton, and a girl, Annika. They were born on December 2013, which makes them three now. A supplemental petition to terminate the parties' parental rights was filed on March 4th of 2016. The trial was held in this matter on August 18th, 2016, and the order terminating the parental rights of both parents was filed October 24th of 2016. Christopher is appealing the supplemental order's determination that he abandoned the twins for the 6 months preceding the filing of the supplemental petition under Section 43, 292, sub 1, and the termination of Christopher's parental rights was in the best interest of the twins.
There are grounds under sub 7.
By the time Christopher was notified that he was the twin's biological father in March of 2015, approximately 8 months passed until the supplemental petition was filed on March 4th of 2016, but 18 months by the time the trial was held on August 18th of 2015.
So can you talk about best interest here? This is a unique case, really, in terms of your client being charged with a crime before this child sees
Which
was born. So are you aware of any case law that addresses that specifically, besides what you've tried to use in your brief? Anything since then?
Your Honor, I'm not aware of any recent case law that would address that. The case law that I am aware of, which was cited in both my brief and the appellee's brief, in all of those cases, the courts drew attention to the fact that the incarcerated parents had prior relationships with the minor children, and that that even though incarceration itself is an involuntary event, committing a crime in and of itself is a voluntary event which could possibly lead to the incarceration.
But here you have no prior relationship.
No, Your Honor, we have no relationship whatsoever. My client was never afforded the opportunity to create any relationship with any friends.
He made an effort to try to do that.
He did, Your Honor. He repeatedly and consistently asked for visitation with the twins, asked for phone contact with the twins. Keep in mind, at this point, they were 15 months old. There's a lot of things that just weren't practical for him to do to try and form that relationship, especially since he was incarcerated in Tecumseh prison. And during this time, Tecumseh was on lockdown, which further hindered his efforts.
Is there anything in the record to indicate that but for that, there would have been opportunities? Are young children that age permitted to come and have visitation?
Your Honor, I'm not sure. I am aware peripherally of children having visitation with incarcerated parents. At this point, at the point in which my client was identified as the biological father, the mother man was first identified prior to his identification. Yes, Your Honor, I believe it is. 8 months had passed since the case had been opened, and the twins had been placed with two separate foster families. The first one was the parents of the purported biological father. They gave up custody, or gave notice to the department once they determined that their son was not the biological father of the children. Then the twins were placed in another foster care setting, which then gave notice. And so by the time that my client got involved in the case, the twins were on their third foster care placements.
And the current foster care placement, is that the one that was on at the time of the termination?
It is, Your Honor.
Are they family connected at all?
They are not a relative place like home. They are willing to provide permits for the twins, though.
So what do we do with the fact that the father has never met the children, the children have never met the father, there is no relationship? Granted, he became incarcerated before they were born. But nevertheless, looking at the best interest of the kids and the length of time they've been in foster care, and their particularly unique needs with their adjustment and attachment disorders. What do we do with that here?
Your Honor, that's a difficult question. My argument is that I don't believe it's in the best interest of the twins to take away from them any opportunity whatsoever to meet their biological father. And that is, in effect, what terminating his parental rights at this stage does.
Does the record tell us enough with regard to when he might be out? Because that's part of the problem here, too, is the record's unclear in that respect.
Again, Your Honor, my client testified that he was facing a mountain where it was going to go to parole board in February 2017. I will tell you that he was not granted parole at that time. I am unclear of when exactly he would be paroled at this time.
So I think his maximum jam-out day or whatever is like in 2024. So if he were to be in prison that long, don't you agree it would not be in the best interest of his children to be held, indefinitely in this temporary custody arrangement?
Your Honor, that's a very difficult question. My heart obviously goes out to the parties involved. It's a difficult situation regardless. The twins right now are in a stable foster placement, so conceivably they could remain there until that gen out date.
But if we're looking at the children's best interests, isn't it in their best interest to have permanency?
It is, Your
Honor. And this is a tough case, for sure, because, your client could be out maybe in 6 months. And that's where it becomes problematic, is how long does the system continue to wait to determine whether he can try to parent.
Yes, Your Honor.
It's a tough decision for sure. To the extent he was out tomorrow, perhaps the juvenile court would have been more open, right, to allow him to move out.
Yes, Your Honor. As the court noted, at this point, the father is a stranger to the minor children, and that would have to be dealt with carefully as far as how to introduce him as the biological father of the children.
Do you have any response to what Ms. Schwan testified to, that the children would have to be 6 or 7 years old before they could actually handle meeting strangers?
Your Honor, I'm aware of that testimony. I disagree with it, and I would argue that children are adaptable, that at any time, they meet strangers all the time, this could be handled in a way in which he could be introduced therapeutically that would not be harmful to the children. I would like to bring the court's attention to the case that the appellee differentiated in its brief in the Athena M, where this court held that termination was not in the best interest of the child, even though the father was incarcerated, and it was unknown how long he would continue to be incarcerated. Because the father was a loving and involved parent to the child, and they had a good bond. Now, as I stated before, we cannot argue that my client has a relationship of any kind with these children.
Wasn't there evidence in the record that dad was about to get out?
Possibly, Your Honor. I may be mistaken that. However, I would like to point out that the catch-22 that the department and the juvenile court placed my client in that he was denied any opportunity whatsoever to form a relationship with his children, and then his parental rights were terminated in part because there was no relationship with the children.
I don't think his inability to have the bond should be held against him, right? Because he wasn't given that opportunity. But the question really comes down to time. How long should the courts allow a child to languish in this sort of temporary zone, when the record is so unclear in terms of when he can actually try to parent?
Yes, Your Honor. However, I do fear that it would be in both my client's and the twins' best interest for them to be allowed to form a relationship. And
is there any authority for that? Since you bring it up, if his rights are terminated, is there any avenue for him to be able to reach that point?
No, Your Honor.
Can I ask you one thing?
Yes.
Real quick, how long have the children been in this third place?
They were placed with the current foster family in March of 2015. I believe that's the same date that my client was notified that he was there.
So the longer this goes on, the harder it becomes to and individual children.
Yes, ma'am. And my recollection is the record would indicate there was an attempt to have a family placement, but that was rejected. Yes, Your Honor, in part because at the time that my client requested his family be evaluated to be placement, the concerns were on their third foster home, and it was deemed not to be in their best interest to disrupt that. Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, my name is Kathy Baldwin. I'm a deputy county attorney for Adams County in Hastings, Nebraska, and I represent the state in this matter. As the court has already pointed out, the real issue that is being addressed today is whether or not termination of Christopher O's parental rights is in the best interest of the children, the twins, Annika and Braxton H. And it's the state's contention that termination was in the best interest of the child, so we would ask the court affirm the lower court's decision. Now, I know there's been talk with regard to, obviously, there's no contention regarding the facts in this case. He committed the crime in which he was incarcerated prior to conception, and he was incarcerated prior to their birth and has remained incarcerated since that time.
So this is distinguishable from those cases where these courts have been critical of parents who voluntarily elected to engage in crime knowing they're a parent. He didn't know he was a parent.
I think it's different than a lot of the case law out there in that he actually committed the crime before the child was even conceived. But there are some
parents. He wasn't a parent.
Correct. But I think it's in reviewing the case law, it's probably most similar to the case in the interest of, I believe it's Jahan S., which is cited in the appellant's brief. In that case, the father had custody of three older children, or not custody, I should say placement because they were state boards at the time, placement of three older children, and then I believe he was arrested for a new crime. I think it was drug distribution or something to that effect. And there was a fourth child that had not yet been born. So the children were placed back, taken out of the home while he was incarcerated, and he remained incarcerated, I think he was pendency of the case until the termination occurred.
It's still distinguishable, though. A person who knows they're responsible for the children may shape their behavior a certain way, or they may not. In this case, a bad choice was made. But he wasn't a parent at that time. He didn't have children to be keeping in mind, right? So he's never had an opportunity to even try to parent, which maybe that's been the right thing, depending on when he gets out. But what is that time thing? You know, I mean, I know that these cases out there just deal with different lengths of time and so forth, but what if he was out at his parole last February?
And that's the state's argument in this case, is that even if he was out on parole right now, the termination of his parental rights would still be in the best interest of the children. Given the testimony of Ms. Swan, who testified, that because of the children's unique adjustment and attachment concerns and the behaviors that she observed based on that, she gave her opinion that she would even be recommending visits to start therapeutically with the father and his children for a number of years until they're old enough to cognitively process who he is and why they are being left with him because they have had no bond previously. And she, in her opinion, it would be detrimental to introduce him at this time to the children, given those adjustment and those attachment disorders. The foster parents also testified regarding behavioral concerns, and I think one of the children had some speech concerns when they were initially placed with the current foster home. The child was not speaking.
But a lot of that was related to the mother, right? And then once the mother no longer had contact with the children, the behaviors were changed for the better.
I think that's a piece of it, because, yes, as the court's well aware from the record, it was an ongoing struggle with mother. She was in and out of their life. But that doesn't change the fact that father had not been in their life either. Now, is it his fault that he was not in their life? It depends on how you look at incarceration, you know? Some would argue that incarceration is involuntary. I think Christopher O. admitted when he was testifying that he is incarcerated because of his own actions. And he also testified that this was not the first time that he has been incarcerated. He testified that he had previously been incarcerated, I think in 2008, or 2009, or 2010. I'm at the Department of Corrections. So you see a pattern of antisocial criminal behavior. This wasn't just a first-time offense that he got incarcerated at the Department of Corrections for. So regardless of what led to the children, I guess, being abandoned and having these issues with attachment adjustment, the fact is that they do have them. And so going forward, it's always the best interest of the children, given the adjustment and the attachment concerns that were outlined by Swan and her recommendations pertaining to moving forward with visits, and the concerns mentioned by the foster parent, given the speech concerns for the, I believe it was Annika who had the speech issues and the practicing had behavioral issues. Swan said, basically, if you introduce this man to them, they're going to regret. And they've been through a lot already, and so...
So any stranger that they meet, they regress?
Why? I think it would be more of them trying to understand who he is to them. I mean, if they,
but that could be him with their punitive, right, in terms of when you identify who he is in terms of biology.
Correct. And like, let's say he was parole in February, and he's out, and we were to start therapeutic visits with him and the twins immediately. I believe Ms. Schwann testified that that reunification process in itself is a lengthy, would be a lengthy process. We would start therapeutically. We would see how that goes. We would make sure that the kids aren't, you know, having to experience any more trauma by reintroducing bio dad in the picture. You know, then assuming all those as well, then, you know, maybe we move to supervised visits, and then we move to drop-in visitation, and ultimately the goal would be to transition the children back into his care. That process in itself would be rather lengthy, according to the testimony of Ms. Swan. And so the children to date have already been out of the home for 3 years. I mean, they were taken into state custody when they were 7, 8 months old and have remained out of home since that time. So assuming that he was paroled today and we move forward with reunification, it would probably be years
there. Conceivably, it could work beautifully.
He it could
harm his life, the children could be good for him, and vice versa.
It's just a matter of time. I think this court has been very clear in its prior decisions that children should not be suspended in foster care indefinitely to await uncertain parental maturity, because even if he is out, there's no guarantee that reunification could occur. He might
no guarantee that it wouldn't, that's the best problem. But it's really the timing, and unfortunately, in this case, the record is lacking in terms of, and you can't always know, right? Because there's a lot of factors affecting his actual release date, if he gets paroled at all.
And I believe the record establishes, he did say that he did have a parole review hearing in February of 2014. He said that previously he had been denied parole, so that was not his first parole hearing, but that his jam out date wasn't until 2024. So essentially, the evidence presented to these kids, if the court were to, I guess, reverse the lower court's decision and remand to the county court for further proceedings, this case could potentially stay open for 7 more years.
Because jam out date was the summer, do you think we'd have a different situation?
I don't. I honestly believe that it would still be in the best interest to terminate now, given that even if he was out, reunification process in itself would be lengthy and could be traumatic to the children. And so it's the state's position that it would be in the best interest of the child to terminate now.
Is there any authority to permit a parent, once termination has been effected, to have contact under circumstances like this, some kind of controlled contact?
I think it boils down to the discretion of the county court and whether or not that contact would be in the best interest of the children. I know that during the pendency of this case, the father, Christopher O, never filed any formal motions. I don't recall ever having a hearing on visitation. I know he made oral requests to the Department of Health and Human Services pertaining to those visits. And normally, with a 3A, you know, visitation is left to the discretion of the department, and they did not end that visitation, given the circumstances at that time or at the time the request was in the best interest of the child. Now, I can't comment on why they didn't think it was in the best interest, but ultimately, in these types of proceedings, It's left up to the trial court's discretion and to the Department of Health and Human Services.
But what's, if termination is done and this child is adopted, there is no avenue for this father to ever have an opportunity to meet his children, is there?
Legally, I don't think there is. I think that maybe then you can contact the foster parents and see if that's something that they were open to, but obviously if they denied, or I'm sorry, not the foster parents, but the adopted parents at that point, I don't know that there would be any legal remedy, just voluntarily.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you both. I don't think there's any rebuttal time.
There's not.
All right. So thank you both very much for the matter resubmitted.